There is no case which the blood of Christ cannot meet. There is no sin which it cannot wash away. There is no multiplicity of sin which it cannot cleanse, no aggravation of guilt which it cannot remove. You may be double dipped in scarlet. You may have lain in the lie of your sins these 70 years, but the blood of Christ can take out the stain. You may have blasphemed him almost as many times as you have breathed. You may have rejected him as often as you have heard his name, and you may have broken his Sabbath. You may have denied his existence. You may have doubted his Godhead, and you may have persecuted his servants. You may have trampled on his blood, but all this the blood can wash away. You may have committed whoredoms without number. Nay, murder itself may have defiled your hands, but this fountain filled with blood can wash all the stains away. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. There is no sort of man, there is no abortion of mankind, no demon in human shape that this blood cannot wash. Hell may have sought to make a paragon of iniquity. It may have striven to put sin and sin and sin together till it is made a monster in the shape of a man, a monster abhorred of mankind, but the blood of Christ can transform that monster. Magdalene's 7 devils, it can cast out. The madness of the demonic, it can ease. The deep-seated leprosy, it can cure. And the wound of the maimed, yea, the lost limb, it can restore. There is no spiritual disease which the great physician cannot heal. This, the great universal remedy, the medicine for all diseases, no ease can exceed its virtue. Be it never so black or vile, all-sufficient blood. From Charles Spurgeon in Spurgeon's Sermons, Volume 5, The Blood. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. And then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both man and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. And the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." From Exodus chapter 12. The church today in many places has stepped away from the power of Christ's blood, and the focus has shifted to meeting you where you are, accepting you for what you believe, and encouraging you to love one another in unnatural ways. The focus is off of Christ and is now about the comfort given by men to men in a world where the authority has shifted from the gospel to the doctrines of men. These falsehoods, keeping one chained in spiritual death, where the heeds and the warnings given by God Himself through His Word, through Jesus and His written Word, which leads to life, are ignored and rejected. The dead lead the dying to the entrance of hell. Neither will taste nor embrace the sweetness of a relationship with our Father Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. In John 14:6-7, Jesus comforts his disciples when he tells them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. And from now on you do know him and have seen him." When we read of the first Passover, the instructions were very clear as to what the people were to do. Only a lamb perfect, free from any blemish, would fulfill the requirement. The blood of no other would protect them from what was coming to the nation of Egypt. Spurgeon, in his Sermon, said to his listeners, "The blood of that man whom now I behold dying in agony must be my redemption, And if I would be saved, I must put my only trust in what he suffered for me when he himself did bear our sins in his own body on the tree. He then asked them to sit and picture him, Jesus, as such, and to take a moment to imagine what was happening that day, because Jesus was a real man. It was a real cross that he was hung on, and it was real pain that he suffered. An innocent man, perfect and without blemish or the stain of sin upon him of his own making. And he, the only one who could fulfill the requirements for a Passover. I sat and I thought of what it took to accomplish what he did. Of this lamb, Isaiah 53:7 writes, he was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, and so he did not open his mouth. I imagined if it had been me called to suffer for my own sin, let alone for others I did not know, or for offenses I did not commit, that my defenses would not give way. And I saw the worst. Not being able to be silent as he was, I saw myself striking back defensively with clubs of words, and they returned to me not only as words, but by the blows, both increased in number and intensity. I would wear anger as a cover for my head. I would be cloaked in fear, and hate would be the fire that turns my heart into a briquette. My body would release that last breath as a wisp of smoke from a dying ember, and by this my body would cease, but the anger, the pain, the hurt, and the hate that had consumed me as I died would not from this life release me, but carry me into the next, where no light could reach me, and only darkness and cold were left to surround me. Pain like a weight would spiral me further into the never-ending darkness until once again I felt the fear and anger arise as my soul hears and remembers words given me, burnt to ash in my heart. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come, follow me. And I chose to reject the hand offered me, to be comforted by the words given me, and instead believing I could save myself. And I fall into a pit of which there is no way out, and no one to rescue me. I now know the torments of hell as I am taken into its belly and suffer for myself what Christ Jesus had already suffered for me. But I would not accept from him his gift of salvation offered me freely, and instead spent my life trying to save myself, except it was from myself that I needed saving. Then I know I will never taste the sweetness of being in the presence of Jesus, nor have the peace of heaven for eternity. And I will have none other to blame. I chose my path. I sealed my destiny. And I will now be at war with myself for eternity, where there is no end of time, and there is no hope for me without Christ. If you believe that you are able to be kept silent while you are being persecuted without him, you set yourself up for failure. Human nature, your sinful nature, will do what it needs to protect itself, even if it means lying, cheating, stealing, and even killing. All around us are signs of a civilization that is dying, imploding on itself, and the main reason is the lack of love for God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, who is Savior and Redeemer to this world. Angry people beget angrier people. Those deceived believe their captors because from them has been taken the ability to think for themselves. They have been gathered together as sheep for slaughter, and they don't even see what's coming because they refuse to separate themselves out of the world. The passage from Exodus about the lamb and the Passover, about being saved by the blood on the doorpost, is to us a picture of Christ's saving power, the power in the blood, his blood shed for you and for me. There are none beyond his reach, only those who don't want to be touched by him. Nothing else can save us. We must have this covering over us. It is hard to imagine a dirty, sin-stained robe dipped in blood that comes out white as snow, but that is what the blood of Jesus does. It cleanses us of all of our sin, and as a new slate, with a new birth, with a new heart, there is not a mark left on us or held against us that is not covered by his blood. Do you truly understand what that means in and to your life? It is the blood of Jesus that will protect us from the wrath of God that is coming upon the world. It is the blood of Jesus that God will look for when the time of judging comes, and it is the blood of Jesus alone that will bring you into a relationship and life. There is power in the blood, as the song says, wonder-working power. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't plead your way into heaven. There is only one way, and that through the blood of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Will you come? Come today to the foot of the cross and have your robe washed in the blood that gives life and conquers death and will strengthen you for the days that are to come.